Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live in LA, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Want to thank again KJR in Seattle, 950 AM listening, my hometown. It's our NBA stretch here as the playoffs start tonight. Then we go into the NFL draft. Then it's NBA playoffs, and the NFL takes over. I got a couple interesting stories later today, one on the Broncos, one on the Packers. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are things?
Everything is great. I'm really looking forward to this postseason in the NBA.
So am I.
I think there's a lot more parity this year.
Well, March Madness had the best ratings it's had in half a decade.
And there was a ton of parity in that tournament.
Masters, by the way, was highest rated in a long time. So the legalized sports gambling is keeping people around longer to watch the games. And so I'm going to do my NBA playoff predictions. I'm not going to do the finals. So I'm just going to tell you right now, I think Cleveland and Brooklyn win the play-in games. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on that. Cleveland, they're not as good without Jared Allen, but they'll get in. So will Brooklyn. And I'm going to take the Clippers and San Antonio to win their play-in games. So with that premise, that's our foundation as we start. Let's go first to the Eastern Conference. I'm going to take the Heat over the Cavs. Again, if Jarrett Allen was playing, I think you have a seven-game series. He's not, and in the 18 games without him, they've only won seven. Also, the depth of talent, the experience on Miami is better. They have the best bench scoring in the league. I'm going to take Miami. Sixers-Raptors is a tough one for me. I think I'm going to take the Sixers, and the reason being is that who's the Raptors' go-to scorer? Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. I got two guys. The team with the two best closers against the team with no great closer, I'm taking the Sixers. Milwaukee-Chicago. Milwaukee played them four times, won all four games. Chicago can't beat the good teams. Lonzo Ball's out. Won't be a close series. Boston and the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to take the Nets over the Celtics. When KD and Kyrie played this year, the Nets were 11-6. Ben Simmons is going to play defensively. Remember, the Celtics also lost their best defender, Robert Williams, to an injury. Major. So the Nets will be better defensively because of Ben Simmons. The Celtics will be worse without defensive stalwart Robert Williams. I'm going to take the Nets. So let's go There we go. Now it's going to be Miami against Philadelphia. I would and this is close, but again, I'm going to take the Sixers over the Heat. Remember, Miami's a better bench team, but benches shrink in the playoffs. Secondly, I get the two best closers in the series are both on the Sixers. James Harden and Joel Embiid. Jimmy Butler is not a great closer. He's a great athlete. Same with Bam Adebayo. So their bench advantage won't be a big advantage. I'll take the Sixers. Milwaukee Nets will be an excellent series. I think this is where the lack of chemistry, it's so good with Milwaukee and so uneven with Brooklyn. This is where I think Brooklyn meets their ceiling. Also, of the three best closers in the series, Milwaukee has one of them. And Chris Middleton's the fourth best closer, but he was pretty good in the postseason last year. So I take Milwaukee and the 76ers to advance. From there, I'm going to take Milwaukee. I think when Brooke Lopez came back, they're the much better defensive team here. Harden hasn't played well lately. They have big game experience here. Again, we kind of threw the Sixers together. I think Maxey and Harden and Embiid, they're all kind of trying to figure each other out. Milwaukee knows exactly what they are. They've been in multiple big games, including the conference finals and the finals last year. Milwaukee goes on to win. Let's go to the West. All right, Suns and Spurs. I don't think it's close. They played four times. Suns won all four. Also, the Spurs are just not built to beat the good teams. They were 2-14 against the top four teams in the West. So there's a reason they're in the play-in game. In terms of Dallas and the Jazz, so this is the hardest series to predict because Luka's got his issue. So the Mavs, the last couple times they played, the Mavs won, and I think the Mavs are better. But and they defend, I think they're a better defensive team right now. I'm going to go with the Mavs and say Luka misses one game, not any more than that. Golden State, Denver, I'm going to go with the Warriors over the Nuggets. First of all, I think Golden State has playoff experience, playoff wins, and they're a better defensive team. And Jamal Murray and Michael Porter are still out for the Nuggets, so they don't have a full complement of players. I think it's an interesting series. Golden State at times, you know, Kayvon Looney's your center. They're not terribly big. They can get pounded a little bit, but I'm going to take the experience, Steph making big plays, and in the end, Jordan Poole's an emerging star. Many of you who don't watch the NBA in the regular season will be introduced to Jordan Poole, one of the emerging stars in the NBA. And then we have the Clippers and the Grizzlies, and I think Memphis is too young to win this series. This is an upset. The Clippers have the most top wing defenders in the league. The Clippers have been in more big games. They're the best three-point shooting team since the All-Star break. Then you get into Suns and Mavs, and the Suns went 3-0 against the Mavs. I still don't think we know what's up with Luka. I think the Suns are easily the best team in the league, and I think they dispose of the Mavs pretty quickly. Golden State Clippers, I'm going to call for an upset. Clippers over the Warriors. Again, they've got a lot of depth and a lot of bodies. Kawhi Leonard may play. My gut feeling, he is. And the Warriors, since the All-Star break, are like a 500 team. So, you know, they're not quite sure what to do with Kuminga. Can they rely on Jordan Poole? He'll be good. You know, what are we going to get from Klay? Steph's been beat up. Same with Draymond. I'm going to take the Clippers for the upset. And then the Suns over the Clippers. Listen, the Clippers are an 8 seed. The Suns were easily the best team in the league. At some point, you meet your ceiling, and that would be the – even with Kawhi, I don't think you'd have the chemistry yet. But I said this the other day. I think Clippers-Suns is going to be an interesting series. I think they're the one team – that has enough length, enough experience, a great coach. They'll go in with house money, an 8 seed. They'll play incredibly loose. I think the Clippers would give the Suns some headaches. And, you know, Chris Paul's health, you always kind of cross your fingers. So then it's the Suns, Bucks in the finals, and I have the right not to make a prediction on that. I do, yet. By the way, you guys didn't have a problem when the Lakers-Celtics met every year in the finals. What's wrong with that? They're the best constructed teams in the league with the best chemistry, good coaches, good GMs, great rosters. All right.
I mean, that's what's been happening in the NBA since forever.
Yeah.
So the Warriors, what's wrong and whatever team LeBron was on.
If you don't have a problem with the Lakers meeting the Celtics in the heyday of the NBA, then what's wrong with that? They're not going anywhere. B.J. Armstrong, three-time champ and all-star NBA agent, now joining us. All right, you watched my play. Let's start with the Eastern Conference, B.J.
Okay, Carla, let's start with the Eastern Conference here.
What didn't you like?
Well, where do you want to start here? I mean, where do you want to start? I got to let you start. You were all over. You know, you had the Clippers. I was stuck on the Clippers getting to the final. So you got to take me through where you want to start here.
Okay, let's start with this. Okay, let's start with this. So in the East, I don't buy the Heat. And here's my argument. They've got a great bench. Benches they shrink in the playoffs. It becomes about two or three closers. Miami's got great athletes. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Who's their closer? Whereas, like, the Sixers have multiple closers. So let's start with this premise that teams like Boston, teams like Miami, good bench, play hard, good defense. Between the two teams, I got one guy I trust closing. I don't buy those teams in the East despite great regular seasons. Do you buy that premise?
Well, what I like about the Miami team is their depth, and they have a collection of players that on any given night, any of those players can become a closer depending on the matchup. So whether it's Bam, it's Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, I like the fact that they have experience. They're battle-tested, many of these players, Kyle Lowry and these guys, P.J. Tucker, these guys are all NBA champions, and they are ready, and they will not, you know, they can easily be down in a series by one game or two games and figure out how to play because they have playoff experience. So even though they don't have that one player that, you know, a Kevin Durant player or a Giannis that you say you can just put the backpack and he'll carry us to the promised land, on any given night, Kyle Lowry is very capable of making big plays. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and they will have an advantage at some matchup during the course of the game. So I like this team defensively. I love what they do because they are a tough group. They have depth. They can play slow. They can play fast. They can play physical. So I like their chances, and most importantly, I like their toughness and what they do, and they're well coached. So I think this is going to be a team that's going to be a tough out. However, you know, as you look in the playoffs, you still have to get past Giannis. You know, KD will have something to say about that. Maybe the Celtics. So I think there's a lot of parity in the Eastern Conference, but I like this Miami team.
Okay, so you like them. Now, let's take a team that I like more than everybody else. I know Brooklyn is easy to root against, and they don't have a bench, and they're not always, they don't have the size, and they haven't played together a lot. I have the two best closers, arguably, in the East. Ben Simmons, if he plays 7-8 minutes a half, doesn't even have to shoot. His length, his defense, his distribution, I think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. The chemistry, the amount of games together, the defense. What do you like Brooklyn as much as I do?
Well, you know, they've piqued my interest because of the following. In most of the series, they will have, without question, the best player in the series, and that's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is just an elite offensive player, and you can't stop him. You just can only hope to contain him at any given moment. He can just score. He can take on the double teams. He's playing the game at an exceptional rate and playing the game like never before. So I think in most series, he will have the advantage, and because he will have the advantage, it will give them an opportunity to win throughout the playoffs.
Let's go to the West. The Clippers are my dark horse. A lot of wing defenders. I love their coach, Ty Lue. Paul George will be the first or second best player on the floor in many games. He's been in playoff games. I think Kawhi could play. I like their versatility. I think they can throw a lot of lineups. They can go big. They can go small. It's a tough team. Ty Lue's a tough coach. They're playing with house money, potentially. So that's my dark horse, the Clippers. Do you like them or not?
I do not like the Clippers as a dark horse, and here's why. You know, Paul George hasn't played, you know, for a length of time in the season, and I think that's going to kind of throw their rhythm off as they get to the playoffs because a lot of these guys, in particular like Reggie Jackson, these guys, they've been the go-to guys throughout the playoffs. I mean, throughout the regular season. And then once the playoffs begin, they'll have to go back into what they probably – initially were brought there for is to be a role player. Now, Paul George is going to come back. He's probably going to play and be that go-to guy. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to play this way, play through Paul George in the playoffs because they just haven't had enough time to to play and really develop that level of chemistry. I understand what you're saying. To think that they can get to the conference finals minus Kawhi Leonard to me is like, wow, how good is this team? But now that you said that, I know who you're picking to win the NBA championship next year. So I'm putting the pressure on you right now.
All right. So that now, so you didn't I don't buy into. Here's the team I just don't think I buy into. Golden State. So
yes.
Klay Thompson's not right. I also think Jordan Poole's an emerging star, and Klay sort of gets in his way. You don't know. They're not very big. Sometimes they just don't have the manpower. And if you look at the NBA right now, between Giannis and Embiid and Durant and DeAndre Ayton, there's a lot of bigs. They're small. They can't try. You know, they don't know what they get with Wiseman. Jonathan Kuminga's a great defender, but he's a kid. I don't really buy the war. And I love everything about the Warriors. I don't buy into them. Do you?
You know what? I buy into this when you talk about the Warriors. What they did over a five-year period speaks for themselves. You know, they were three-time champion. They have great players. In particular, you're talking about Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. Now, however, this is a different group with a different team. So this is what I think is going to make the playoffs interesting, in particular with this series. There are a couple of players in the NBA that you can't play small ball against. One of those players being Jokic, the other out there in the Eastern Conference in Joel Embiid. So when they do go small, or what they consider their death lineup with Draymond Green at the center position, in the playoffs, you play to your matchups. That will be a matchup that will, I think, be an advantage for the Denver Nuggets. Now, you talked about Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Wiggins, and Draymond Green. That's a very small group. They're going to have to double, okay? They're going to have to double Jokic at some ability. His best ability is his ability to pass. So I think this is going to be a problem because of the matchups. You're going to have to keep big players on the floor, and the Warriors don't have a lot of big players right now. So I think this is an advantage for Jokic. It's going to be interesting to see the rotations that Steve Kerr is going to use, because Jonathan Kuminga is a player to me that has shown that he deserves minutes.
Yep.
You got Draymond, you got Kevon Looney. So I think it's going to be a very interesting series. It's going to be a battle of the wills. And I think it's going to be determined by how they're going to try to contain Jokic, because he has an advantage over the centers for the Golden State Warriors.
All right, I want to listen. Frank Vogel's out. Lakers, as you know, as an agent in the NFL, you can get out of bad contracts quickly. You can cut people. You can trade people. In the NBA, it's quicksand. You have
yes.
to. You just can't get out of it. So, and I don't. I've said this. My theory on this. I'm going to throw a theory at you because I think it hurts.
Okay.
I think it hurts the NBA. Is that what makes the NFL great? Is that a rebuilding process can last like 2 years. I mean, Belichick took a 1-15 Dolphin over and just hired a new coach, changed the bottom of the roster in the middle. They were 11-5 the next year. The Rams had Jeff Fisher. They hire Sean McVay. A year later, they go from 4 wins to 11 or 12. They didn't even get a new quarterback. In the NBA, it hurts them. When you're bad, the rebuild can be 6 or 7 years. And here's my
yes.
theory on it. So the NBA's always been paralyzed by competitive balance and tanking. But that was when Ewing and Tim Duncan would enter the league. They could
right.
alter the course of league history. They were all-stars day one. The kids entering the league now are 19. Hell, they're not
yes.
altering the team. Forget the league. And so the
right.
NBA should be much more willing to let people trade who they want to trade. The teams that want to tank are tanking. The kids coming in aren't altering the league. Draft picks don't have nearly the power they had in the Ewing days, the Tim Duncan days, the Jordan days. They just don't, the Akeem
right.
Olajuwon days. So the Lakers are in quicksand. So first of all, as an agent, let's start with that theory. The league needs to be more hopeful and optimistic for fans. Lighten up the trade restrictions. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, when you had the collective bargaining agreement, and first of all, Colin, I think you've made some very valid points. And one I definitely want to touch on for just a second is the impact of these young players that are coming in. At one point, you had impactful players that impacted the bottom line, which is winning and losing in this league, whether it was an Akeem Olajuwon or Patrick Ewing and those caliber of players, Tim Duncan, for instance. And now you're seeing player development really come to the forefront of this league. So you're absolutely right. I think what you're saying is there is a talent here that's really kind of taking a backseat in the NBA, and that's called roster construction. And what you're seeing here, Colin, is that if you're going to build a team, if you're going to build a team that has any sustainability in the NBA, you're going to have to draft well. And that means you're going to have to draft at a very high caliber, you know, sort of like what the Warriors were able to do when they drafted Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and those level of players. So drafting right now is a premium, but it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get there as quickly as you once could because you're not drafting those level of impact players at the top of the draft. You may get a Jokic, for instance, in the second round. You may get a Giannis outside of the lottery. So what has become in this league is you have to draft and identify these star players, but because of their age, Colin, you just don't know. These one and dones make it very, very difficult. It was already difficult to scout and evaluate players, but it's very difficult to do now to evaluate, scout these players and say which one of these guys are going to become a star. When you see a Kevin Durant, for instance, you say, I feel pretty good about that. What you're hoping is you're not drafting a player at that level, and then that player just becomes a role player. And that's what you're seeing more and more in the NBA. It's very hard to identify the star players, especially at the top, because you may get that same caliber of player in the second round.
So one more question. Lakers are a mess. My theory is I'd keep LeBron. I would put everything else on the table, including moving Anthony Davis, if somebody gave you an offer. If you ran that team, is there a quick solution on the Westbrook, AD, old roster, old bench? Any quick solution here in a minute?
I don't think there's a quick solution. I think, you know, the Lakers are going to have to really say the following. What are you going to do with your two players in particular, LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Okay. And that all starts with whether or not LeBron James and the Lakers organization, what they're going to do with his extension or his ability to have an extension. I think you start there and then everything else to me will fall into place, whether they're going to build a team, whether they feel those two guys still have the ability to compete at the highest level and win a championship. Because, Colin, when you look at what they have in order to build the rest of the team, which we talk about roster construction, how are you going to put together a group, right, with this team if you don't have the pieces or the resources or the assets, however you want to call it, to build a team as it's currently constructed? So they got a lot of questions here. You know, LeBron James had a great individual season. But you have to say the following. He only played in, what, 50-something games? And then what is that going to translate moving forward with this organization? So I think they have a lot of questions. They have three excellent players individually. But right now, Colin, they're not playing well as a group. And those are concerns that the Lakers organization are going to have to answer, and they're going to have to answer over the summer.
Yeah. B.J. Armstrong, great seeing you again, my man. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, and good luck with your Clippers.
Thanks. So, I like the Clippers much more than BJ. He likes the Heat much more than I do, so here we go. I think we both think Brooklyn's interesting, but there you go. So he likes Miami. I have real questions. You know, they have a collection of guys who have played in big games. That does help Miami. Interesting thoughts from somebody who's covered the Packers a long time in their quarterback situation.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll we'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites! Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The USFL is coming Saturday and kicks off with a historic inaugural game as the New Jersey Generals take on the Birmingham Stallions in primetime on Fox and NBC.
All right, here's a story, Joey. Tom Silverstein is a longtime Green Bay Packer reporter. We had him on about a month ago. He's been covering this team for like 30 years. And he said, interesting story on Jordan Love. He said, what is clear inside the organization is that when Rodgers returned for training camp, some in the organization said that Jordan Love, who they drafted in the first round, seemed to defer to Aaron, didn't show the kind of leadership and command he had when he was number one on the depth chart during the offseason. There's no indication the Packers are actively shopping Jordan Love, but they would listen. This guy's tied in. The Packers would want a second round pick. The bottom line, there isn't a better time for the Packers to trade him given the poor quarterback draft class this year and the outstanding one next year. So what he's basically saying is the Packers aren't sure. So this is one of these things that cracks me up. You got 3 years of Utah State tape and 2 years of Green Bay practice tape, and you don't know, you know. You date somebody 8 years, you're not sure, you know. Right? Like, it doesn't take forever. So my takeaway is trade him now. The less you put him out there, the better. Mitch Trubisky got more valuable when you didn't see him play. When you have an average quarterback prospect or an average quarterback, this league is so desperate to win, not playing him, Marcus Mariota, raises his value. We haven't seen Marcus Mariota. He's like the Loch Ness Monster. I haven't seen him. He's a starting quarterback now. Mitch Trubisky disappeared. Where'd he go? Steelers went and got him. When your quarterback's great, get him out there for the market to see him. When he's average or less than that, hide him, and people just, oh, yeah, I saw his tape. You know, he wasn't terrible against Kansas City. He had a 70 passer rating. That's a tough team to play. It was on the road. I wouldn't play him. I would move him before the preseason. I think the more you see of him, I think he's average. The more you see of him, the less enthralled people will be. The other thing is, well, what if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt? Well, you're screwed anyway. If Aaron gets hurt, you know, good God, you got no shot anyway. So to me, it was a pick. It was a bad pick. It happens. Seattle Seahawks have had 7 years of them. Like, it's a bad pick. Get a third-round pick, move on. Same theory with the 49ers. You got Jimmy Garoppolo for a second-round pick. He got you to a Super Bowl. Move on. Save the $25 million. Get Trey Lance help. So, but if Tom Silverstein is saying this, that they would listen, they know. He's not as good as they thought. I mean, they're not even into his leadership stuff. So you and I know watching him, we're not into his playing stuff. They're telling you in the building, some people don't think he's a leader. That's like the Anthony Davis stuff, although Anthony's obviously much better. Anthony, we know he's not a leader. But if he can't stay healthy on the court and you don't think he's big off the court in the room elevating, what's the point? So this story to me is it may not say a lot, but it says everything. They're taking phone calls. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, there have been numerous reports this offseason about a rift between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians.
Yes, multiple stories.
Arians kept denying it. Brady's been pretty silent about it. But a recent report might shed a little light onto why he might have been unhappy. Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel reported yesterday, Brady, as in New England, showed up each Tuesday morning with a game plan for the following Sunday, a source said. He expected coaches to do the same. Arians, busy with other work, wasn't ready at that early point in a work week to complete a full game plan. It became representative of smallish but significant problems between them.
Yes.
According to Hyde, this was a factor for Brady wanting to leave the Bucs.
Yeah.
Now, this is not particularly surprising because this was one of the reasons why, to me, Tampa was always a long shot to get Brady because it wasn't a cultural fit.
Right.
I mean, we talked about this when we were discussing where Brady was going to end up. It's Tampa. It's like, that's Tampa. Tampa.
We thought
cocktails
like,
at three? Like, that's not Brady's style.
No, we thought San Francisco with the kind of intensity of Kyle Shanahan.
Correct.
And they didn't love Garoppolo. Like, we thought that was the fit. Academically, intensity.
And even the Chargers is out west.
NFC, get him away from Boston. Like, that was the fit.
It never made any sense to me from that regard. Now, which is why the success that they've had is not taking anything away from Brady's greatness or Hooper's Arians. But it is a little surprising that they were able to meet in the middle with their two very different styles and win a championship so quickly. That is actually a very big surprising part of what, like, now that we're seeing how frustrated Brady was. He showed up there and instantly won with two completely colliding styles of play and preparation.
Yeah.
Which shows you how, at least in the first year, both of them were clearly very flexible. Because if this was a problem and this was a style that he wasn't used to, Brady, and after 20 years of doing it a certain way, he was able to be flexible and make it work in a new system and new situation and new players in a pandemic year.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, is Belichick wasn't terribly flexible with Brady. He left. Pete Carroll wasn't terribly flexible with Russell. He left. The Packers have struggled to be flexible with Aaron. He soaked him in negotiations. And Arians isn't terribly flexible with the way he does things. He's now upstairs. This has changed now. Like the NFL, Phil Simms was told what to do by Bill Parcells or would sit.
No, I mean, when it comes to star quarterbacks,
it's changed.
You have to be accommodating.
They're now making 45.
They want.
They're making $50 million a year. They used to make a highly compensated one made 12. It wasn't long ago.
No, if you run into a particular personality that isn't. See, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is someone that really forces his way onto things. Now, you have an Andy Reid there, so it's it's probably easier to, you know, have those conversations because that those are personalities.
But remember,
that you can have conversations.
Pete Carroll's old, Belichick old, Arians old. You're talking about old school guys. There are defensive coaches and younger, like Sean McDermott is much more flexible with Josh Allen. John Harbaugh's younger. But when you have older coaches with Super Bowl rings.
Well, I mean, Andy Reid is older as well. But I think that's why I'm saying you can sometimes get lucky with the style. Because Andy Reid is notoriously a teacher. He's notoriously very flexible. He's a mentor.
Like, very flexible.
He's very accessible. And Patrick Mahomes doesn't seem like he has that type of personality to demand certain things. He sort of trusts the organization. Now, when you're with an organization that you can trust, that makes things easier as well. But I'm with you. The days of just doing whatever when it comes to your star quarterback and telling them what to do and forcing things, like, those are done.
And it's
very similar to the NBA.
And by the way, that's not a bad thing. Always go, it's bad, bad, bad. I think Kevin Durant made a really bad decision going from Steph Curry to Kyrie Irving. But, you know, Magic Johnson, when he played, had a sense of this guy works with me, this guy doesn't. I like a strong leader. Like Kobe Bryant demanded the Lakers, I'll go to Chicago if you don't get me another star, and they engineer a deal for Pau Gasol. Like, I do like strong star players because generally they hold people accountable. You can't waste time.
I do think that this you know, kind of balance has forced organizations to be more aggressive. It has forced them to be more accountable. And, you know, that can benefit teams and fan bases overall. Now, that also being said, when stars do force their power onto situations and it fails, I think you have a right as an organization to say, we did it your way, and this is the result, so we're not going to do that moving forward. Like, we gave you that space. When it comes to forcing for players or certain personnel or certain coaches, if it doesn't work, then I think you have a right to take that ownership back as an organization as well. But again, this is only reserved for the top 1% of the 1% of people in the league. Like, this is not going to be a thing that trickles down to every single position. You've got like four guys on earth that can do this.
Right.
So just relax. So Tua said he is getting support this offseason. The staff that has been put in place and the support he's getting is unparalleled. At a recent charity event, he praised them for showing up to something that was so personally important to him.
To be able to have our OC, my quarterback's coach, our head coach here in support of this. To me, I've never witnessed that. So we have all three of those guys here. And to have my teammates here, I mean, we hang out at my house all the time. So I'll probably see them at the after party.
There's another pretty great clip from this Tua event where Dan Marino walks in and he like... just turns into all of us when we see Dan Marino, which is like when Dan walks in a room, everyone's like, oh my God, it's Dan Marino. And everything else has just stopped. But I think this is good. I think this is what I've always wanted for Tua for the Dolphins in this situation, which is to just lean into him. You saw, we were just talking about Jordan Love, why that pick was such a waste. This is why I always think that young players should play right away. You're wasting years, you're wasting development, and as an organization, you're wasting time to see if they are really the guy.
Yeah.
Like, we have no answers onto it, and that's totally the Dolphins' fault.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do? You wasted time talking about Deshaun Watson, you never got him. You had Ryan Fitzpatrick out there, accomplished nothing. You just took development time away from Tua and didn't put the pieces around him to be successful.
Well, I mean, and the guys that are really good, I mean, Dak, day one, you were like, okay, that works. Russell Wilson, day one. Oh, it works. Joe Burrow, day one, it works. Justin Herbert, day one.
Right.
Like, the truth of the matter is talent pops. I always use the show American Idol. Now, I have no musical background, but I watched that show for 10 years. You could tell within a lyric, you're 12 seconds in, you're like, hack, lounge singer, potential star. Like, it doesn't, and I've told the story years ago, when I was living in Hartford, I went to an AAU basketball tournament my daughter was in. There was like 12 courts, and there was a bunch of coaches there. And I walked in, and like within 3 minutes, I'm like, who's that girl in the far court? And they're like, yeah, she's the best player here. And she was like a ninth grader. Like, talent emerges quick. I don't think Tua is it, and I think he'll play well this year. But, like, if the Packers say they don't know about Jordan Love, you know.
If you don't know at this point, then you know.
That's why the Trey Lance stuff is interesting in San Francisco. Like, if you're still asking questions for all those picks you gave up, you got a problem in your hands. a big problem.
Yeah, you still have Jimmy G there talking about like, well, we'll just want to keep a winning quarterback on
the roster.
That
tells me there's massive doubts.
I'm with you. I think it's a huge sign. So Russell Westbrook has received a ton of criticism throughout the season, and he feels that it all started internally at the beginning.
So when I first got here, I just felt that I never was given a fair chance just to be who I needed to be able to help this team.
LeBron and Aiden were very clear with like that rest of us. Like we heard that a lot.
Yeah, but that wasn't true.
That's what I was going to say. Let's be honest. Do you ever feel like yourself this season on the court?
Very rarely. Not like, you know, there were times and spurts, but I was just trying to find my way, honestly.
He was also asked about his first relationship with Frank Vogel, which he responded, I'm not sure what his issue was with me.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. All right.
I don't know. I'm with you. I find this conversation to be exhausting. I've been a huge defender of Russell Westbrook for years. It's the fourth team he's played for in three seasons. He's likely going to get traded this year. Fifth team in 5 years. At some point, maybe it's you. And I feel like the lack of accountability from the entire organization, from there being no leadership accountability throughout the season when things were going bad, it was always the injuries. It was always, you know, some drama. There's no one ever stepped up and said, we're not good and we got to be better. And, you know, I don't want to hear about one tweet from LeBron throughout the season. Like, this was a total, utter collapse. Terrible legacy year for the Lakers. Terrible legacy year for LeBron and for Russell Westbrook. And it's just like everyone just keeps passing the buck. And it's almost like, who are you fooling here? It's Frank Vogel's fault, but LeBron said it was the injuries. So it's not the injuries' fault?
So bad.
If you're being criticized, it's probably because you're not playing well. Fans and media don't tend to criticize guys who are playing well.
Especially
Jokic is a six seed and is probably going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
So if you play well, you generally don't get criticized. Like, you can't have all the drama and issues that you had all season long, and it's always someone else's fault. It just falls to me. Giving zero self-awareness.
If you had five jobs in 5 years, you'd been released or moved, would you go, maybe I'm the issue? I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe it's not the companies.
I mean, where's the conspiracy here?
Listen, we have a nation of conspiracy theorists. I see it every day on social media.
Not to mention, he's owed $47 million. You missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it's bad. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It's the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
There'll He'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio. I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
You know, I was thinking about this. I saw this story. Nathaniel Hackett's the coach of Denver, the Broncos. And, you know, you don't know if these coordinators ever make good coaches. But the truth is, a lot of the assistants that get head coaching jobs, the offensive guys are working a lot. McVay worked. Shanahan worked. Matt LaFleur worked. Feels like they're working, right? The defensive coaches, even when they're smart, Brandon Staley Chargers, couldn't get Justin Herbert into the playoffs. So, you know, Nathaniel Hackett's an offensive guy. He just got a great quarterback. I think they'll work. How great they'll be, I don't know. But, you know, my takeaway is every single NFC team last year that made the playoffs had an offensive coach. The best quarterback won every division. The game's getting very offensive. And I think it's very hard for older defensive coaches to adjust. So Nathaniel Hackett had a quote about Russell Wilson. And he said, this is just the opposite of Pete Carroll. He said, just so important to make sure he's comfortable. Everything he does, cadence to the way you call a play. He's in front of 80,000 people screaming. You want it to be natural. We do so much of the same stuff. It's just about getting that language to be able to cross over. Pete Carroll, defensive coach, older, struggled with Russell Wilson. Bill Belichick, defensive coach, older, struggled at the end with Brady. Mike Zimmer, defensive coach, older, struggled to the end with Kirk Cousins. Brian Flores, not older, but defensive coach, struggled with offensive coordinators and Tua. And Vic Fangio struggled with offense. You know, I feel bad because a lot of people don't like change. 40% of America never leaves the area code they were born in. People don't like change. Most don't. So they double down on what they know. But when you see Nathaniel Hackett, is it going to be okay? Is it going to work? Yeah. Matt Stafford, McVay, they'll figure it out fast. And Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, they'll figure it out. This is the way the game is now. The defensive coach is getting hired. Like Robert Saleh with the Jets last year, defensive coach, disaster. Brian Flores, we thought it was good, ended up behind the scenes, disaster. So that's why Lovie Smith getting hired in Houston, I'm like, okay, it's an old defensive coach. That's not the way the league's going. I give Denver and the Miami Dolphins a lot of credit. They both realized very quickly The game is changing. We're going to go young offensive coach and spend a lot of money on offense. The Broncos and the Dolphins. And I may trust Denver more than I trust Miami, but I'll give Miami credit. They figured it out. And sometime, you know, there's two things to do when you have massive and swift changes. Adapt and pivot. Most people aren't good at that. Or just double down. That's what most people do. So when I see the Nathaniel Hackett, a lot of people are going, how will they do? I said it with the Raiders. Josh McDaniels bombed his first job, but he is an offensive coach. People can learn from their mistakes. Pete Carroll got fired a couple times before the Super Bowl in Seattle. But what you're watching here, if you're asking me, is the coach going to work? I said Robert Saleh, defensive coach with a rookie quarterback. I predicted it. I said that's not going to work. That's not going to work in New York. It was a disaster last year. My guess is Josh McDaniels with the Raiders and Nathaniel Hackett with Denver. It's going to be pretty good teams, pretty fast, pretty quick.
It's what makes me nervous for Justin Fields.
I've got concerns about Justin. So young quarterback, defensive coach. Don't be shocked if it looks a lot like the Jets. I mean, just week to week, you have no idea what you're getting. It doesn't mean Robert Saleh can't coach. It doesn't mean, Eberflus, the kid in Chicago, can't coach. But the game's changed. It's harder to think those defensive principles are taking you to the promised land unless you have a Josh Allen in Buffalo. It's the Herd.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.